Everyone has their own unique views and needs when it comes to financial success. If you'd like to leave your financial woes behind and live a life of financial freedom, you've come to the right place. Welcome to the Saving with Steve Show, hosted by Steve Sexton. The show will help you with the ins and outs of money. We talk about financial issues that could be costing you thousands of dollars and keeping you up at night. We talk about money, tax reduction, saving more, spending less, 401ks, risk management, retirement, and everything under the sun that relates to you having a healthier, happy relationship with money. Now, here is your host of Saving with Steve, Steve Sexton.
Hello, welcome to the Saving with Steve show, where we talk about the ins and outs of money. Pretty much everything under the sun is related to having you having a happier, healthier relationship with money. My name is Steve Sexton. I want to thank you for joining us today. We have a lot to talk about. We have Thomas Cryan here. We're going to be talking about disrupting the tax code. I'm also going to be talking about the disruption in the market caused by the administrative economic policies and what that means to you. But more importantly, you know, how do we go about navigating the IRS, layoffs, Dodge, 2025 tax challenges? And what could we do to disrupt this tax system that we have and make it easier on the national debt, easier on people to make $100,000, $200,000 a year, as opposed to people who are just wealthy. And that's the reason why we have Tom Cryan here. He's an attorney, media executive, entrepreneur, author of several books. The one we're going to be talking about today is Disrupting Taxes. He's got another book called Freddie Steinmark, The New Paradigm, and Three Principles. As well as, yeah, I mean, he's written numerous articles on politics, broadcasting, communications. You've seen him all over from Fox Business, The Wall Street Journal, USA Today, Fortune, Forbes, Newsweek, and many others. So with that, Thomas, I want to welcome you to the show. Thank you for being here with us today.
Steve, it's great to have a conversation with you.
Right back at you. You know what? Our listeners and viewers are really looking forward to talking about this because we're right in the middle of tax season. And you know what? Most people hate paying taxes. just putting it out there like it really is. So let's start talking a little bit about, you know what, we're seeing, you know, the layoffs and the IRS layoffs. You know what? What is that going to mean to people filing taxes? We have the Tax Cuts and Jobs Act. You know, is it, you know, the extensions into 2025, but we have some changes sunsetting in 2026. Let's get started with some of those things.
Well, just to address the layoffs, just to get started. So, you know, the layoffs, they present an interesting predicament in that one could anticipate that IRS layoffs will slow down the processing of tax returns, and one could further estimate that IRS layoffs will reduce the tax collection over the next year. And reduced revenue to the IRS will increase the federal deficit, which is an issue we are all concerned about. And so I saw the other day, Steve, a report that said that just as a data point, as of March 1st of this year, roughly speaking, there were 2 million less tax returns filed as opposed to March 1st of last year. So that's about a 5% reduction. So already people are dialing into to the layoffs and trying to ascertain how to navigate them in light of it.
Wow, 2 million tax returns. That's a lot of money that's not coming in right now.
Well, it is, and it's, you know, it's part of this larger element around our tax system is built on self-declaratory tax filings for individuals and corporations. And that very fundamental premise right there opens the system up to abuse. You know, there's an old saying from Plato, 2,500 years ago, Plato said that when dealing with an income tax, the just man will pay more and the unjust man will pay less on the same amount of income. And that's, you know, that's just presented by the dilemma specific to the self-declaratory tax filing. And in my view, the self-declaratory tax filing is unnecessary, and we'll get into it, but I think there's a much better way to collect taxes driven by technology.
Let's get into that, but let's talk a little bit more here about, and many people, when we put out you, many people are saying, okay, what's with the, you know what, the Tax Cuts and Job Acts, Yeah, 2017. It's extended here to 2025. We know in January 26 it sunsets. So what does that mean to everybody that's out there right now, you know, paying taxes?
Right. So a couple of points. One, it is true that the Tax Cut and Job Act does sunset at the end of 2025 for most purposes. And I think, the betting line in Washington would tell you that it's a pretty good chance that it will be extended. And so if it's extended, what are the implications of the extension into the economy? And further, Steve, even before you get to that, you mentioned a little bit in the prep for the interview, the issues around DOGE. So, there's a lot of noise in the marketplace right now. And, with respect to the DOGE dividend, it's an example of really a misdirection, right? So the DOGE dividend is really not constitutionally possible in that. If there were savings as a result of DOGE, and we can talk about savings and where it might be in the larger picture of the budget, but if there were savings, those savings, the Treasury would probably have a fiduciary duty to take those savings and pay down on the national debt. Also, it's just from a constitutional perspective, it's important to recognize that DOGE saying it's going to issue a dividend is a real misdirection in that, one, the DOGE doesn't have the constitutional authority to issue a dividend. The truth is the president doesn't have the constitutional authority to issue a dividend. The truth is that the constitutional authority lies with the power of the purse, and the power of the purse lies with Congress. So for a dividend to happen, it would require an act of Congress. So, I just mentioned all that to say that that's all just confusion out there. What's really powerful, what's really out there is we have $37 trillion in debt, $37 trillion in our national debt. And we really need a strategy to address it.
You know what? A lot of people, I just got this from somebody and I just really want to ask you because you're really knowledgeable here. Tariffs. Tariffs is basically a tax. So is that an avenue that the president can use to actually reduce the national debt by generating more tax revenue through tariffs?
Yeah, no. In my view, and I'm a free market guy, as a free market guy, I start, with Adam Smith and I go through Milton Friedman. And so I believe, and even the math and the science will tell you, that tariffs are not a viable mechanism for taxes, in that total tariffs into the United States, the total volume of tariffs, meaning the total volume of goods coming into the United States, is $4 trillion. It's a very small tax base. And the math and the science, and we'll talk about this later, the math and the science will tell you the wider the tax base, the lower the tax rate. So at $4 trillion, we are spending $6.7 trillion a year. Your math tells you that means we'd have to have 150% tax on the tariff to collect enough revenue to replace the IRS. So it's really not a viable option.
Okay, so basically what you're saying, the tariffs isn't a viable option to eliminate taxes. I get that. But would it be able to reduce some of the tax burden that the United States has, or even some of the debt that's coming from?
Well, so in my view, tariffs are a political tool, not an economic tool.
Okay.
And there's a great example from Trump's first administration. In Trump's first administration, you might recall, he levied tariffs. Mm-hmm. There were retaliatory tariffs. If you remember, the Chinese retaliatory tariffs were very specific and they were very critical. They were tariffs against the U.S. farmer. And those tariffs were so severe because the U.S. farmers sell a lot of those products to China that the farmer in middle America was devastated. So much so that the story is that the tariffs raised $30 billion on China. The farmer was hurt so bad that Congress had to pass a financial aid act and gave the farmer $30 billion. So it was a complete wash.
Oh, wow. That's something else. Hey, folks, look, we're going to take a break. We're going to be right back with more Thomas Crichton.
More expert advice for having a happier relationship with money still to come on the Saving with Steve Show.
Don't let your financial woes keep you up at night and prevent you from living a life of financial and personal freedom. Hi, I'm Steve Sexton, host of the Saving with Steve Show. We're going to be talking about the ins and outs of money, those financial issues that could be costing you thousands of dollars, causing stress, keeping you up at night. We're going to talk about money, tax reductions, saving more, spending less, your investments, risk management, retirement, and everything associated with you having a healthier, happy relationship with money. So if you've ever dreamed of living a life of financial and personal freedom, you owe it to yourself and your family to tune into the Saving with Steve Show. Join me, Steve Sexton, on the Saving with Steve Show as we talk about everything under the sun when it comes to money. To learn more about the show, visit savingwithsteve.us. That's savingwithsteve.us. Savingwithsteve.us. We'll see you soon.
Welcome back to the show that is here to help you achieve your financial goals. It's the Saving with Steve Show. Now here's your host, Steve Sexton.
Hey, welcome back to the Saving with Steve Show, where we talk about the ins and outs of money. I truly want to thank you for sharing us with your friends, family, and associates. Folks, all the replays are available at savingwithsteve.us. If you're enjoying stories of helpful information and insight on Saving with Steve, I encourage you to subscribe to our YouTube channel so you never miss a show. And check out a few of our affiliates at UK Health Radio, BBS Radio, Talk Radio New York City, E360 TV, Las Vegas TV Networks. All these networks are dedicated to empowering you to solve problems, uplift your spirit, and live a life of personal financial freedom. Now, I want to welcome back Tom Cryan. As you know, he's an author. We're talking about disrupting the tax code. And let's just start talking about the implications that we have with the Tax Cuts and Jobs Act. And you know what? I know there's some history here. There's some foundation of taxes I think we need to go through. But you know what? What would be the alternative?
Well, Steve, the alternative, I would argue, is a technology-based tax called the Automated Banking Transaction Tax. But before we get to that, let's examine why this technology-based alternative might be dynamic. So if you look at the Tax Cut and Jobs Act, if you sort of step back and say to yourself, let's look at this from 10,000 feet and let's look at the arc of history, maybe at least 50 years, and how the last 50 years tell us a story about the data and where we sit today. So when you think about where we sit today, there's a little thought experiment that I often undertake as anecdotal evidence. And you are well-informed, Steve. Your audience is well-informed. So you all may have a deeper knowledge of this, but let's sort of explore it a little bit. So if you and I, Steve, went to lunch and we were at a restaurant and the restaurant worker comes to the table, and I said to the restaurant worker, listen, here's the situation. The situation is the federal government has two buckets of revenue. They can collect revenue from individual and their individual salaries and income and corporations and their profits. And that those two buckets make up 100% of the revenue for the federal government. And we said to the individual, what do you think is the percentage? What percentage of the federal revenue comes from corporations and what percentage of the revenue comes from individual taxes on salary and income? And as you think about that, as your audience thinks about that, I would tell you anecdotally, what typically happens is the individual sort of reflects for a moment and they say, gosh, my sense is that corporations contribute 50%, 60%, 70% of the revenue. And the individual salaries contribute 30%. I don't know what you think, but I'll tell you the answer is corporations contribute only 10% of the revenue. And individual taxes on salary and income contribute 90% of the revenue. And Steve, it wasn't always that way. Back in 1945, at the end of World War II, the tax burden was shared equally between corporations and individuals, each about 40%, and the balance was made up taxes on gasoline, taxes on alcohol, et cetera. And since 1945, what has happened is the tax burden, starting around 1980, shifted dramatically. So In 1945, just to give you, again, some of the data from history, in 1945, after World War II, our debt-to-GDP ratio was the highest in history, 102%. By the time Ronald Reagan took office, the debt-to-GDP ratio was 30%. Today, our debt-to-GDP ratio is 120%. Specifically, we have a $30 trillion GDP, and we have $37 trillion in debt. So how is it that we went from 102% debt-to-GDP to down to 30% and then back up to the 120% it is today? And the answer is in the correlation of the tax code. So what happened is after World War II, there was a shared burden. But then taxes came in 1981, 1986, 2001, 2005, and 2017. And that tax code shifted the burden deeply onto the salaries of middle-class and upper-middle-class Americans. So much so that today, if you look at the data, today, of the 90% of the code, of the collection of revenue under the code paid by salaries and income, of that 90%, 97% is paid by individuals earning $50,000 and more. Likewise, on the corporation side, of the 10% that corporations contribute, only 1% of all the corporations in America contribute the vast majority of that 10%. And what that means is 99% of all corporations are not paying any taxes. So this inequitable shifting of the burden onto the backs of middle class and upper middle class salaries. Again, the big guys who are paying $250,000, $500,000 a year salary, $1 million a year, those are the guys who are carrying all the water. And the gals, the guys and the gals were carrying all the water. And the burden has inequitably shifted. And so the question is, what can we do about it? Because the reality, the repercussions of the shift is we're not collecting enough money against what we're spending, and we have this $37 trillion deficit.
Wow. So, and I was just thinking about that with corporations. If you have an S corp, the income's going to flow off to your personal return, so the corporation wouldn't pay any. And I can totally see what you're talking about. And in my tax life, which began in the 80s, where I was paying taxes. It's just very interesting about what you say, because I could see why very few corporations pay a lot in tax. And I could see why a lot of individuals, if they have the right tax structure and use corporations and structures, they can actually pay even less tax, and how the bulk of the taxes come from people who pay over, you know, $50,000 or more, which is interesting.
Right. And certainly the guys who are $250,000 are really the guys carrying the water, because they're, and we could talk about, you know, we could get deep into the weeds inside baseball, but the as you know, the code has preferences to corporations and the wealthy to the detriment of the salary guy. So the salary guy who's linked into his salary, that's his ability to create wealth. That guy has very limited options, and it's inequitable. And only when everybody, you know, the math and the science say when the wide tax base allows for the lowest tax rate and everybody must pay, no exemptions, then you can actually collect the $6 trillion that we need.
Mm-hmm. And well, I was just thinking about that. If you have somebody that has, or a couple that has $50,000 in revenue, so to speak, salaries, Social Security, and all that kind of stuff, you're subtracting $32,000 out. You maybe have $18,000 left. And on a couple basis that you're looking at, maybe a, you know, you're lucky if they get to the 10% tax bracket. So they don't really pay anything, or they pay very little at that level. And then when you start going up, the tax brackets get higher and higher. And I can see how people who are making over, you know, what is it? Over $100,000 are the ones that are really starting to pay the taxes. And that's where the main revenue comes from.
And it's really even the higher guys. So guys who are making $500,000 and up contribute over 50% of the 90%.
Yeah, no, I get that. Because if you think about $500,000 after standard deductions and all that, you're still paying Between federal and state, close to that 50. That's really interesting. And a lot of people probably don't realize that, that the bulk of the taxes are being paid by people with significant salaries, and the people who have lower ones aren't paying very much or none at all. So I get that. So a very few, a very small portion of the United States is actually paying the taxes that's funding this, which is interesting to understand. So, you know what? I'm going to take a quick break. I went a little longer than I thought I was. So folks, stick with us. We're going to be right back with more Tom Crime. This is really interesting stuff, and it's really what you want to know when it comes to your taxes. So stick with us. We'll be right back.
More expert advice for having a happier relationship with money still to come on the Saving with Steve Show.
Don't let your financial woes keep you up at night and prevent you from living a life of financial and personal freedom. Hi, I'm Steve Sexton, host of the Saving with Steve Show. We're going to be talking about the ins and outs of money, those financial issues that could be costing you thousands of dollars, causing stress, keeping you up at night. We're going to talk about money, tax reductions, saving more, spending less, your investments, risk management, retirement, and everything associated with you having a healthier, happy relationship with money. So if you've ever dreamed of living a life of financial and personal freedom, you owe it to yourself and your family to tune into the Saving with Steve Show. Join me, Steve Sexton, on the Saving with Steve Show as we talk about everything under the sun when it comes to money. To learn more about the show, visit savingwithsteve.us. That's savingwithsteve.us, savingwithsteve.us. We'll see you soon.
Welcome back to the show that is here to help you achieve your financial goals. It's the Saving with Steve Show. Now here's your host, Steve Sexton.
Hey, welcome back to the Saving with Steve Show, where we're talking about the ins and outs of money, pretty much everything on the sun that relates to you having a happier, healthier relationship with money. My name is Steve Sexton. I want to thank you for joining us. You know what? We have, what a great topic today. We've been talking about the tax system, who are the people who are actually paying the taxes. And you know what? Thomas Crine, he's an author. He's got several books, but we're going to talk about the one called Disrupting Taxes. And what I've asked Thomas to do is just start talking about an alternative tax, or not an alternative tax, but an alternative way of collecting taxes. And I'm going to let him go into that. And we're going to ask him a bunch of questions so we can all understand it. Also, you know what, throughout the next couple of segments, he's going to talk about what it really means to do if you're making $50,000, $100,000, $200,000 a year, or if you're a corporation. What does that really mean? So with that, Thomas, come on in and let's start talking about the alternative tax system.
So, Steve, so math and science tell us that the wider the tax base, the lower the tax rate. And the key is no exemptions. Everybody pays. So, for example, there are only $13 trillion in salaries in the United States. So if we're taking 40% of salaries, it's a huge chunk. Even the GDP is only $30 trillion. So if you could tax that, if knowing that you have to get to $6 trillion, say we get savings in, you know, from the DOGE, and we only spend $5 trillion. We still need $1 trillion a year to pay down on the debt. So how do we get to $6 trillion? Well, the answer is drive the possibilities of technology. So the widest tax basin in the country is not salaries. It's not the GDP. It's all banking transactions. Economists have an estimate that there are $600 trillion in banking transactions in the United States, and that's separate from the stock market. And that if you could tax that $600 trillion at 1%, what you would have is $6 trillion. So every banking transaction would be truly every banking transaction 1%, where 0.5% on the debit side, 0.5% on the credit side, 1%. So as an example, say you were a manager at Walmart, and say you earned $100,000 a year. When Walmart pays you that $100,000, as it leaves the Walmart bank, 0.5% is taken out. When you deposit it on the credit side in your bank, 0.5% is taken and it goes to the IRS. That's the automated banking transaction, 1%. It goes to the IRS. All self-declaratory taxes are eliminated. So there's no more IRS. There's no more self-declaratory tax filings. It's all driven by technology and it's all automatic. No exemptions. Everybody pays. So the rich pay, the poor pay, the corporations pay, the not-for-profits pay, the criminals pay, the visitors pay. Everybody pays. There's no exemption. So if you think of that $100,000 family, but let's say they have, you know, five members in the family total. So $100,000 comes in, 1% goes out. As that family spends their $100,000, 1% goes out, right? So whether it's paying rent on the apartment, paying for the car loan, buying food, whatever it is. So in effect, that individual pays 2%. But if you think about it, that 2% is as opposed to their current tax rate, which might be between 15 and 20%. That's the, you know, basic example of the automated banking transaction tax.
So, for example, somebody would have $100,000 income. They are likely going to be in a 22% tax bracket and effectively pay somewhere around 16 or 17 between federal and state. And if they're in this program, they'd be effectively paying two and netting $98,000 because there's a wider tax base.
Correct. That's okay. Absolutely correct.
So that means it gives them a wonderful opportunity to actually save more in a 401k or so on and so forth and have more money to build wealth in their life just because they're investing and so on.
That's right.
And the bottom line, it has more to come. So even for the people who have larger sums in the $200,000 or $300,000 range, they're basically looking at, hey, I've got about $6,000 I'm going to have to pay in tax on $300,000. That's not bad. I can live with that. They live with that every day because they're probably paying 30%.
Or more.
Mm-hmm.
That's okay. Correct. Yeah.
And now, so are there any limitations or drawbacks to this type of system?
Well, I think what has to be understood is that in this type of technology-driven system where everybody pays, the reason that we can collect more money, the reason why more money can be collected out of the economy is because technology drives it. Everybody pays. Now, there's going to be, think of the effort and the time and the savings for tax preparation, tax filing for corporations and for individuals. Think of this. Adam Smith wrote in 1776, several months before the Declaration of Independence and the Wealth of Nations, he says that all tax systems must have four big principles. One, they must be proportionate. What does proportionate mean? Proportionate means the same tax rate for everybody. Two, tax systems have to be predictable. Three, tax systems have to be easy to pay. And four, they have to be easy to collect. So if you apply the principles of Adam Smith, the ABT tax is a home run. One, proportionate, 1% for everybody in the economy. Everybody pays equal. Rich, poor, criminals pay, corporations pay. Everybody pays, no exemptions. Because there's no exemptions, there's enough revenue to be collected to run the government. Two, so one, it's proportionate. Two, it's predictable. What could be more predictable? I know that I'm going to be paying 1% on every transaction. And that's, you know, fair for everybody. Two, it's easy to pay because the technology actually collects it and pays it. And it's easy for the government to collect. Far easier for the IRS to implement a software system through the banking system than it is to run all of the elements of the IRS code to see as corporations and individuals comply with their self-declaratory tax filing. So it's a, you know, from those perspectives, in my world, it's a big win.
Okay. So let's talk about something else. People have estates in the United States, and right now, if they're at over a certain level, they get taxed. Okay. So how would this plan affect, you know, hey, my mom and dad passed away. I'm inheriting a house. I'm inheriting an IRA. I'm inheriting this money that's sitting in a bank. How would it affect that?
Right. So again, this is a, you know, this book, Disrupting Taxes, and this concept of the ABT tax is a deep conceptual proposal, you know, to be part of the conversation. And the truth is, Steve, that this notion of a 1% tax historically goes all the way back to Caesar. Caesar tried to implement a 1% tax in the Roman Empire. His problem was he wasn't able to collect it because it was so difficult out in the economy. And he became so frustrated that what he ended up doing is he said, forget that. And he went to the governor of each province, who was a wealthy individual, and said, you, governor, pay me what's owed for the empire from that province. And then you go out and collect the taxes you see fit for your, with your own commission. And those governors were pretty abusive. And then throughout history, there were other examples. The physiocrats in the 1700s tried to do a single tax. And actually, even in 1980, there were some elements of trying to do this type of a tax in Latin America, but it never took traction. So that said, if we implement this tax, what happens is it becomes so stable and so predictable that everybody can rely upon it, if that makes sense.
I'm going to take a quick break. We're going to come right back for our last segment. So stick with us. We'll be right back with more Time Crime.
More expert advice for having a happier relationship with money still to come on the Saving with Steve show.
Don't let your financial woes keep you up at night and prevent you from living a life of financial and personal freedom. Hi, I'm Steve Sexton, host of the Saving with Steve show. We're going to be talking about the ins and outs of money, those financial issues that could be costing you thousands of dollars, causing stress, keeping you up at night. We're going to talk about money, tax reductions, saving more, spending less, your investments, risk management, retirement, and everything associated with you having a healthier, happy relationship with money. So if you've ever dreamed of living a life of financial and personal freedom, you owe it to yourself and your family to tune into the Saving with Steve show. Join me, Steve Sexton, on the Saving with Steve show as we talk about everything under the sun when it comes to money. To learn more about the show, visit savingwithsteve.us. That's savingwithsteve.us, savingwithsteve.us. We'll see you soon.
Welcome back to the show that is here to help you achieve your financial goals. It's the Saving with Steve show. Now here's your host, Steve Sexton.
Hello, welcome back to the Saving with Steve show, where we talk about the ins and outs of money. Again, I want to say thank you for tuning in, and I appreciate you letting your friends and family and associates know about the show. Again, all the replays are available at savingwithsteve.us. If you're enjoying the stories of helpful information and insight on Saving with Steve, I encourage you to check out our YouTube channel so you never miss a show. Check out a few of our affiliates at UK Health Radio, BBS Radio, Talk Radio New York City, E360 TV, Las Vegas TV Networks. All these networks are dedicated to empowering you to solve some problems, uplift your spirit, and live a life of personal and financial freedom. Now, we're going to be moving into our last segment here, and I think this is really, really very important. We're going to be talking about some of the current issues that have been created by our tax code, okay? And part of it has to do with the ability to get a higher salary, to grow your wealth. And you know, with that, I think Tom is a really great person to discuss that, because a lot of people don't think about this other than, hey, I just want to pay less in taxes. Because I deal with people all the time who just say, I hate the tax thing. I got my required minimum distribution. I want to pay less. How do I do it? So Tom, let's start talking about the issues because of the current tax situation that focuses on middle and upper middle class paying those taxes.
Sure, Steve. So, you know, the data in history is quite fascinating. Just to give you an example, this shifting of the tax burden onto the middle class and the upper middle class salaried and income individual has had enormous repercussions. One of the great repercussions is that the American dream has been strangled for the younger generation. And we're talking about strangled before we even talk about the $37 trillion in debt. that we're going to have, that our children and our grandchildren are going to have to pay because we're not getting it done. So when you think about the strangling of the American dream, it's very interesting. When I was born around 1960, I had a 90% chance of earning more money than my father. Kids born in 1985, 1990, 1995 and on, they have less than a 50% chance of earning more than their parents. And that is reflective of a strangling American dream that really is correlated to the inequities and the imbalance in the tax code. And the inequities and the imbalance in the tax code are really rooted in corporations not paying their share and many tax benefits to the ultra wealthy, as we all know, are out there. And look, the code is the code. It's the rules of the game, and we all should play by them today. But me as a free market guy, what I think is we have to create a true free market. And to give you an example of how the current code has restricted the free market, a very fascinating piece of data. So today, as we sit here in 2025, 10% of the population owns 82% of the wealth. That hasn't been that high. That gap hasn't been that great since 1929. In 1929, 10% of the population owned 82% of the wealth, and then the Depression hit. So possibly a harbinger of things to come, but it's a question for all of us to ask. After the Depression and after World War II, what happened is the wealth gap narrowed. And by the time Reagan took office in 1980, the wealth gap was 10% of the population had 62% of the wealth. What happened since 1980 to today that the wealth gap has gotten so large that it's gone from 10% with 62 to 10% with 82? And what are the repercussions of that? And the repercussions are that when the wealth gap is that great, there's less of the economy available to the hardworking American to garner his piece of the American dream. And that's what's the problem inherent in the tax code. And that's why we really need to look to technology. We really need to look to how can we create a fair and equitable tax system. And under disrupting taxes, the automated banking transaction tax offers that solution.
You know what? I just was thinking about something, and I was actually thinking about my son. And he's got a great job. He's got a great salary and all that stuff. But if you look at housing prices, it's going to be very hard for him to create an income that's large enough to support buying a house in the area that he lives in.
Right.
And I mean, because if you just look at $1 million house, you got to come up with $200,000. And then you got an $800,000 mortgage at right now at 7%. And right. That's a big stretch for anybody. I mean, you're going to have at least a $200,000 job just afforded after taxes.
And Steve, there are hidden implications in that example you just gave, which are, again, you know, part of the problem with the tax code is that the tax code also incentivizes certain operations, including benefits to real estate. And in my worldview, I think we have to take all the incentives out of the tax code. The tax code has to be a simple flat tax of banking transactions. And whatever incentives we want to put, we should put on the spending side. But if you think about the real estate incentives that currently exist, what happens is the large equity funds, the large real estate trusts, they're out there buying up homes. And when they buy up homes, the supply is limited for individuals like your son to acquire a home. And when the supply is limited because there's so many tax advantages to the big fund, what that does is it makes that price to the upper middle class individual out of reach.
Yeah. So that's basically what I'm hearing from this. And the reality is most of us every day, we go do our things, don't really pay attention to things like that, and don't realize that slowly but surely our kids are getting squeezed. And it's just interesting.
Absolutely. I mean, think about this, Steve. $37 trillion. So right now we collect just in the past year, right? So in the fiscal 2024, we collected $4.7 trillion federal government. We spent $6.7 trillion. That's a $2 trillion deficit last year. Now, that's been true since the first Trump administration. For the 4 years of Trump one, it was $2 trillion a year for $8 trillion. For the 4 years of Biden, it was $2 trillion a year for $8 trillion. So at $37 trillion right now, how do we pay that off? Well, the answer is if we could find $1 trillion and pay it down, it would take 37 years for the debt to be paid off if we could do that. And I don't see Congress being too close to raising $1 trillion for the deficit right now, right? Mm-hmm. And look, I'm going to be gone, but our children and our grandchildren are carrying that burden of this deficit spending that's been going on. And we could even further get in, inside baseball when you talk about, look, well, where are we spending the $6.7 trillion? What, you know, what they're finding out right now is, A, there's $1 trillion in interest. B, there's $1 trillion to the military. C, there's $1 trillion to Medicare and Medicaid. D, there's $1 trillion to Social Security. There's actually $1.5 trillion. So that's $4.5 trillion. You know, there's an inside baseball joke that the federal government is a bank, an insurance company with an army. There's just, you just can't cut enough of the balance to get anywhere. And the only way to get there is to tax, to extract $6 trillion from the economy, save $1 trillion in spending, spend $5 trillion, not 6.7, collect $6 trillion and pay $1 trillion on the debt. And 37 years from now, when you and I are on to the next world, you know, your children will finally pay off our debts. So that's the dilemma we're in. And we really need to take the issue, I think, to Congress myself.
I don't disagree with that. Thomas, I want to thank you for being here. You know what? For everybody who wants to get your book, where can they go to get your book?
Yeah, listen, I appreciate everybody just listening, you know, to these elements and these arguments. They can contact us at disruptingtaxes.org. Any support, any encouragement from any of your listeners would be deeply appreciated.
So how can they go about getting your book? What's the website they go to?
So you can go to Disrupting Taxes, but the book is available Amazon, Barnes & Noble, you know, wherever you buy books, you can buy it. And we would appreciate that and passing the word on to your congressman and woman.
I appreciate that. Folks, if you want to go to disruptingtaxes.org, you can go right there to Tom's website, get the information. If you have questions, you can also ask him as well. And Tom, I want to thank you for joining us today. Thank you for being with us. This has been a very, very interesting topic for our listeners and viewers. And you know what? If things change, I'd love to kind of have you back again. If the you know what, you never know what Mr. Trump's going to do. So who knows? Yeah, he might come back and say, "I've seen this." The next thing we know, we see you on Capitol Hill testifying.
No, listen, that'd be great. And listen, I'd love to come back, and I'll buy you lunch, and we'll ask the restaurant worker what the thought experiment might be for them.
Thanks for being with us, Tom. Hope you have a wonderful day, and stick with us, folks. We're going to be right back. Hey, Cameron, I'm going to stop right now. I have to go to another meeting, and I'm going to be right back with my final segment for this week's Saving with Steve. Okie dokie. And with that, I'm going to let you go.
More expert advice for having a happier relationship with money still to come on the Saving with Steve show.
Don't let your financial woes keep you up at night and prevent you from living a life of financial and personal freedom. Hi, I'm Steve Sexton, host of the Saving with Steve show. We're going to be talking about the ins and outs of money, those financial issues that could be costing you thousands of dollars, causing stress, keeping you up at night. We're going to talk about money, tax reductions, saving more, spending less, your investments, risk management, retirement, and everything associated with you having a healthier, happy relationship with money. So if you've ever dreamed of living a life of financial and personal freedom, you owe it to yourself and your family to tune into the Saving with Steve show. Join me, Steve Sexton, on the Saving with Steve show as we talk about everything under the sun when it comes to money. To learn more about the show, visit savingwithsteve.us. That's savingwithsteve.us, savingwithsteve.us. We'll see you soon.
Welcome back to the show that is here to help you achieve your financial goals. It's the Saving with Steve show. Now here's your host, Steve Sexton.
Hey folks, welcome back to the Saving with Steve show. I want to again thank you for tuning in, sharing this with your friends and family and associates. All the replays are available at savingwithsteve.us. If you're enjoying stories of helpful information, insight on Saving with Steve, then I encourage you to subscribe to our YouTube channel. Check out a few of our affiliates at UK Health Radio, BBS Radio, Talk Radio, New York City, E360 TV, and Las Vegas TV Networks. All these networks are dedicated to empowering you to solve problems, uplift your spirit, and live a life of personal and financial freedom. I do want to thank you for following us. If you want to follow us on Facebook, you can go to the Saving with Steve Sexton Insiders Club at savingwithsteve.us. All the replays, exclusive guest gifts, and more are just right there for you on the Saving with Steve Show US. Okay, now, one of the big things is we've seen a lot of disruption. And, you know, 2025, quite frankly, has been interesting to say the least. I've heard the words chaos or chaotic, uncertain. Now, volatility is rearing its ugly head. Seeing a lot of red in the headlines, losses, most of you have spent 15, 20, some of you 40 years putting together your portfolio, saving, sacrificing. Some interesting things to think about as it pertains to creating a reliable, stable, and predictable path forward. You know, it was interesting because I was talking to my mentor earlier, catching up, you know, getting his honest thoughts, his gut feeling. I want you to keep in mind that this man manages an extraordinary amount of money in equity, securities, alternative investments. So he's not all on the purpose side of the world, not all on the safe money side, although he has a larger portion of the safe money than the risky side, which the risky skies, we call it performance money. When I was asking his honest opinion, he said, you know, Steve, rain or shine, no matter if it's conservative or liberal news outlets, they're going to do what they've always done. And that's encourage people to sit on their hands and do nothing and take it on the chin. I thought about that for a second. This is the only line of work other than a casino that would enable you to continue doing something that could potentially harm you or put you in the poorhouse or take away 20, 30, sometimes 40% of, you know, your entire life savings at a moment's notice. It always comes when you least expect it. You know, here's a stat he shared with me, the Shuler PE ratio, which is all of you have heard me say that at least one time or another and say my piece about it in a workshop or in person. And you know how I feel about metrics. Dr. Shuler is typically and most often the smartest guy in the room. He's a tenured Nobel laureate in economics, I believe educated. His Shuler PE ratio has been the most accurate measurement stick of the S&P 500 since 1999. So says literally everybody. Here's what's interesting. Every single time in previous decades, the Shuler PE ratio has crested or gone higher than 35. Every time, the market for the next 10 years has either been flat or negative. Folks, it hit 39 in 2021 for a hot minute. In 22, it crashed down to below 30. In 23 and 24, it climbed all the way back to 38.5 at the end of by the end of January 2025. These tariffs, this economic agenda, are causing short-term pain. An elevated 10-year treasury is causing short-term pain. PE ratios are simply a measuring stick, allowing us the information and data we need to make informed decisions on whether or not to be more aggressive or less aggressive. We've also seen the 10-week S&P moving average, and it's starting to show cracks. And big cracks at that. I mean, prior to the election, it was at 5,800. And the S&P is currently at 5,800. That's called instability, folks. Those of you that are taking an income or converting to a Roth or simply don't want to watch 35 years of sacrifice slip through your fingers. We did that in 2022. And, you know, quite frankly, now, hey, you made your money back. The question is, what are you doing to prepare for the inevitable? What are you doing to prepare what the data proves to be true? After all, history seemingly repeats itself quite often, and all the data points have been proven to be true, proven accurate, to protect for those that are, you know, for those that are capable of making a decision that is in our best interest. I encourage you, each and every one of you, to dig deep, ask yourself, what is that inhibiting me from creating a more reliable and stable path moving forward? Why has it become tough to make a prudent decision? It is so easy to make a haphazard or risky decision and stay with what we're doing. I mean, easy come, easy go. You know, we are here for each and every one of you to be part of your journey the way you see fit. For those of you I call friends, more importantly, for those of you I love like family, I cannot sit on the sidelines and watch you walk straight into a wall of fire. God bless. Enjoy your day. Folks, I want to thank you for joining us here on Saving with Steve. And I truly hope and pray that everything goes your way, and we'll look forward to seeing you next time. Bye-bye.
Thank you for joining us for the Saving with Steve show, hosted by Steve Sexton. To learn more about the show and how to become a guest or sponsor, visit savingwithsteve.us. That's savingwithsteve.us. Join us again next time as we continue to talk about everything under the sun that relates to you having a healthier, happier relationship with money. This has been the Saving with Steve show, hosted by Steve Sexton.